Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 396, Belief 2021, which was the title of the Global Virtual Art Festival that was online that I was involved in. And it meant so much that I decided to use that for the actual title because, again, it was by far the biggest honor that I've ever felt, you know, like I'm the best me. Like I need not. Nothing's going to come into my life to make it any better, make it any worse. I'm unaffected. I'm in a great place. But being invited to participate as an artist in this event was just like immediate, you know, hey, you're good from people that do it. And again, I wasn't looking for any validation. I wasn't looking for confirmation. I wasn't looking for any of that. But when I got it, it was just incredibly overwhelming in a wonderful, beautiful way. And I started the last podcast episode kind of with half of what I had in mind to share, which what I did. And then I was going to get into the event. And the last podcast just kind of became its own self, just talking about how, you know, my clients were doing and the reward of that, you know, kind of being their Sherpa and being in their lives and watching them grow. It just, you know, all of a sudden I looked and I'm like, well, that's done. And I'll get to the next episode and the next topic, which was the art festival. And just, like I said, to be kind of like just co-mingle a little bit with that echelon of people who, you know, just were so happy and appreciative and giving and loving and talented and creative. Like, again, it's like, you know, walking into a room and all these people are doing art and you just get to watch them all, you know, and I don't know, I'm just, you know, it's hard for me to kind of say I am an artist and I don't really hang out and I really study to become an artist, but, you know, I definitely do that stuff. So for me, this was a huge, huge, huge treat, and I'm kind of thankful. I said, you know what, I'm just going to dedicate an whole entire episode to this experience because it was huge to me. It really was. So thank you for following and letting me toot my little horn about my event, and it was super, super cool. So I hope you have enjoyed. If you've seen the movie, there's definitely links everywhere for the Vimeo, my short film on Vimeo. I said there's links everywhere, and it was just a great, great, great experience. And I'm happy I'm here, and happy I'm in a place in my life that kind of stuff can happen, and then I get to share it on my podcast. So it's good to be me. A good time to be alive for Tom. Thank you for listening and enjoy. Let go of comparing. Let go of competing. Let go of judgments. Let go of anger. Let go of regrets. Let go of worrying. Let go of blame. Let go of guilt. Let go of fear. You do not become good by trying to be good, but by finding the goodness that is already within you and allowing that goodness to emerge. Your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. The one who plants trees, knowing that he or she will never sit in their shade, has at least started to understand the meaning of life. as long as you are trying to become, trying to get somewhere, trying to attain something, you are quite literally moving away from the truth itself. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. You attract a tribe of quality and high vibrational beings through authenticity. Most of you can't keep a relationship or friendships because the pretense of your dynamics are built on the actions of the inauthentic you. As long as you live, keep learning how to live. Wherever you are, be there totally. If you find your here and now intolerable and it makes you unhappy, you have three options. Remove yourself from the situation, change it, or accept it. The most important day is the day you decide that you are good enough for you. It's the day you set yourself free. Protecting your own peace isn't selfish. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. I love that. What do you do for fun? Shatter people's thoughts on reality and make them question their existence? I like that one. Ego says, once everything falls into place, I will find peace. Spirit says, find peace, and everything will fall into place. Once a man approached the Buddha, seeking the Enlightened One's help. After narrating one of his problems to the Buddha, he asked the latter how he could get rid of it. I cannot help you with this problem, said the Buddha, to the man's surprise. The man then related another problem. Surely the wise one would be able to help him with this matter at least. But the Buddha merely smiled gently and said, I can't help you get rid of this one either. The man lost his patience. How can you be the Enlightened One if you cannot help people resolve their problems? He blurted. The Buddha replied, there will always be 83 problems troubling you. Occasionally, one problem will disappear, but it will be replaced by another one. I can't change that. Even more confused now, the man queried the Buddha, so is there any help you can give me? The Buddha answered, I can help you be free of the 84th problem. And what is that? Asked the man. The fact that you want to get rid of those 83 problems, replied the Buddha. Love that. Love that. From the Buddha Groove. That one and this one. Four unique meditation exercises. Mind-blowing. Get ready. Probably sit down. Let me lay down. Meditation means I have to sit still, shut my eyes, and breathe in complete silence, right? I've said this for a long time. Not the brightest dude. But I learned things, and I kind of like, okay, that seems like a valid principle. I'll apply that. Follow it. And then during the podcast, every once in a while I'd read something. I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, it's like I would get confirmation on these things. And I just one day was like, look, I'm not going to be the dude that just sits there and goes, okay, I meditate for whatever reason. A long time ago, I just like, it's not me. And I'm not sure, but I'm saying last 5-6 years, I got to the place where I was like, okay, I need to do a form of meditation. That needs to be part of my pro-you journey. Well, what's that? Well, when I'm doing something, I'm so focused that I block out everything else. You know, because if you sit there in quiet, you're trying to block out the noise, be okay in silence, focus on your breathing, say a mantra. You know, I mean, there's something you're doing to block out everything else. Why? To give that a rest. And it's like shutting off this part of your brain that never shuts off, the monkey mind will just run 24/7. But if you give it something, a task, beginning, middle, end, gets done, it's like, oh, wow, feel better. So I just decided, look, when I go to the beach, I know what I'm doing there takes my focus. I know it takes me away from everything. I know I block out everything else. And I know it's almost like my life changes when I go to the beach and I return. And if I keep doing that a lot, hey, I'm not, you know, oh, I'm just changing. I'm like, no, I'm that dude now. And that's interesting point on number two. Let's start. Silence and deep breathing are essential to many meditation traditions, as I said. But that doesn't mean that formal practice is the only route you can go. Like all spiritual exercises, meditation is done best when it feels right to you. Hashtag pro you. Whether that means a conventional practice or a more unique approach. Perfect. Here are four alternative meditation exercises that will help you relax the mind and restore your body. Now, the first one's trippy. It says labyrinth tracing, and it shows this labyrinth. Just yesterday, I don't know, I was on, oh, I'm searching for a piece of wood. And I thought, well, let me just go online. And this came up with this piece of wood, and there was an engraving kind of thing, this labyrinth looking thing, and it had this wooden stick, like a little bit more dynamic than a chopstick, but kind of that. And you just put the wooden pencil and you just follow the groove, the indention in the wood through this labyrinth. And as you followed that pattern, it was like meditating. I'm like, I've never seen that before. Number one, boom, labyrinth tracing. Like, nuh-uh. Labyrinths have been used as walking meditation since ancient times. A lot of stuff where they do like the sand and stones, I'll do like labyrinth type things. And they've like been around forever. So, but I didn't know they were like a walking meditation thing. But I knew that they were like around forever. The idea is not to solve the maze, but instead to pay attention to your thoughts as you follow its path. If you cannot visit an actual labyrinth, you can print one on a piece of paper and use your finger as a guide. All right, here it is, number two. Cairn building, C-A-I-R-N. And cairn, that's the whole stone stack thing. If you've, you know, that's the probably the most common word for a stack of stones that dates back forever. And I thought, this is so funny, there it is. I mean, out of the four it's going to list, number two, the one I came up with. Balancing stones is an old Zen technique of examining the mind. I just loved that whole sentence because I'd never said that. I had never put in those words together. And I'm like, a Zen technique of examining the mind. And I'm like, yep, that's exactly what it is. But then it's funny, it goes, flat pebbles work best for this exercise. Start with the biggest on the bottom and build your way up, paying close attention to your breathing as you complete the tower. So again, you don't want to make it complex. You just want to do the stacking. There's a, you know, a big round one. Here's a smaller round flat one. Here's a smaller round flat one. You know, I guess it don't have to be round, just flat. And, you know, that's basically stone stacking. But that very, you know, little technique, repetitive, focused on your breathing, you can be focused on those stones. And it just reminded me, I want to say this is in the Last Samurai movie with Tom Cruise, but the Asian gal prepares tea, and it was like a whole thing. And it was like you just kind of mesmerized, like the poetry in motion kind of vibe that this, you know, woman created while making tea. Moving on. Number three, water exercises. This is a great meditation alternative if you live near the sea. Remove your shoes. Walk slowly along the beach. Huh, who does that? Two, balance cairns. Feeling the sand shift beneath your feet. Stop at water's edge and watch how the waves flow and crash. Always do that. Let the sounds of the ocean return you to a place of peace in your mind. Always do that. If you like to stay at home, you can simply observe the ripples that a drop of water creates. Number four, athletic activity. Take 10 to 20 minutes and completely lose yourself in a moderate physical activity. And that's actually what I when I think of foam rolling. I mean, my mind just shuts down and I totally relax and I'm just searching for, you know, comfort while being uncomfortable. And I don't think about anything else. And 20, 30, 40 minutes will pass. So I'm kind of meditating when I foam roller or stretch, kind of meditating when I'm at the beach, kind of meditating, well, not kind of, am meditating when I'm at the beach walking, and I'm totally meditating when I'm balancing stones. So, and, you know, except for the labyrinth tracing, I mean, that's 3 out of 4 that I'm doing that they suggested, so felt pretty stoked after reading that. Hope you did too. So, I'm now, my big pause, going to share, I guess lack of verbiage, but probably one of the best moments of my life. Because I'm the best me, so going to the beach now is better than it was 3 years ago, better than it was 10 years ago. I mean, I have Zen, but I had Zen 3 years ago. You know, it's like everything I do is better because I'm better. So it's like I've raised the bar. Like, you know, I don't want to talk about karate anymore. I'll talk about, you know, not complaining and making good choices and how are you becoming the best you. I'll talk about that stuff all the time. You know, I've changed. I'm a different dude. And I put up a post with these quotes. I posted the other day and I said, you know, at 55, I said I was doing just about everything different and just about everything better. I was like, well, 55, that's a long time. And I'm like, yep. And I'm like, but I'm doing everything different and better. So it's like, definitely worth it. I mean, hopefully I was going to get to 55, whether I was pro-E or not, whether I was, you know, making great decisions and feeling wonderful or not. So the fact that I got here and I'm feeling the way I am, with the perspective I have, clarity I have, wouldn't trade it for the world. So when I go, hey, best weekend ever, best moment ever, best memory, it's exactly how I feel. So, you know, again, 2020 was a tough year on everybody, but because of that, it became even a better year for me because I just felt like completely filled with gratitude. Like I wasn't, you know, dealing with financial stuff. My beach didn't close. I mean, my life was basically uninterrupted, unaffected, and I just felt more and more thankful. So by the end of 2020, I was like, if it was a little bit less than 2020, I'd be happy with 2021. And 2021 starts off, and also the magical 3 things on a magical bucket list that I never had happened. And it was all kind of because of one dude, the Sean Corcoran, cat from Ireland. And I wanted to preface so much, you know, in messages, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him live during the event, but I did send him one message. I said, I just want you to know, like, this was like, you know, it's not like my life sucked, but it's like, you know, where my life got. It's like, I know what I'm passionate about. I know what I care about. I know what I love. I know what I'm interested in. I know the kind of people I would hang out with. And this cat, Sean, from Ireland says, hey, I just want to throw Tom Dieter's name in the hat for this year's Belief event, Llano Earth Art Art Festival. And the B is like, you know, be here, be loving, be thankful, be all that. So Belief. And it was virtual and it went global. And there was 111 artists that were invited, and I ended up being one of those 111. And I was just like, right there, was just like, wow, I did that. You know, I always kind of thought in my head, like, I wonder if they said, like, you know, top 100, you know, top 100 stone balancers in the world, you know, if I would make that list. And so it kind of resonated with me. That's like, well, you know, because they went globally. They're virtuals. They can go global, and I got invited. And I think there were like 150 artists that ended up participating. But just the fact that I was involved in an event where all these, like, land artists that are, like, amazing, you know, they were there. And here I was. So out the gate, it was like, I was honored, but it was like a month and a half before the event. The event was March 27th and 28th, so this was like early February, and I found out that there was some sort of a green room chat panel, something where, you know, you'd obviously be talking with someone, and then there was a live stone balancing event, and then there was a short film that you could submit. So the short film thing became like, wow, I've always, you know, I kind of, why I started doing what I did was Andy Goldsworthy's documentary, Rivers and Tides. Showed this really chill dude from Scotland going out into the woods, nothing, you know, but his hands and feet, and just created art. And it just stopped my world. It just changed everything. And from that moment on, I've been, you know, doing what I've been doing. So I always had this in the back of my mind of, like, you know, having just the documentary shot, like, you know, Zen and I at the beach. I mean, not that I ever, like, again, this bucket list I didn't have. But if it was like, think really, really hard and wish way above anything that you'd ever want to wish for, I was like, yeah, it'd be cool to shoot, you know, Zen and I at the beach, me balancing stones, and, you know, not with my iPhone, but, you know, shot with, like, you know, cool equipment. And all of a sudden, I kind of experienced this bond with my neighbor, who's the owner of Martin, who's one of Zen's best friends, and I love Martin. And he went away for the holidays. He said, will you watch the house? And I kind of tended to his backyard and kind of fixed it up. And then I kind of did a little more and did a little more. And, you know, was just kind of doing stuff. And he was really appreciative and just kind of grew into a cool friendship. He's like, hey, if you ever want to shoot anything, and here to me was something that was worthwhile. It's like, wow, well, you know, here's an opportunity. And to be international audience. And he was down and he shoots documentaries. He's got a drone. So it was a huge day, but it was a big day. Like, you're going out today with a guy and a camera, and you have to create, and it's got to stay, and you got to, you're hoping it's one of your best things ever. And it's like, you know, sometimes I go out and it's like, what if there's no, you know, sand? What if it's high tide? What if there's not a lot of stones? What if it's windy? I mean, you go out and you, like, deal with what you get with. But on this particular day, I had never felt that kind of pressure. But I went out like 48 hours before, and I kind of got this perspective of, you know, this real shift where it went from, I don't have to do anything. This is like a camera going, Tom, what's your life like at 55? Okay. I'm the best I ever been. And I, you know, follow along. And then the first editor fell out, and the film kind of changed from this longer potential 15-minute documentary into a 4.5-minute video where there's no sound, no chatting, no talking from me at all. Just Zen and I at the beach. Edited by Scott Mosher. Color corrected by Chris Allender, which completely was unimagined. Like, I would have never thought when I even started it that I was going to have that kind of a dream team. Well, they put together something that the first probably 10 times I watched it, I mean, every piece they sent me would make me tear up. But when it was done and I would watch it, I would cry. And I'd watch it again and I would cry. And next day I would watch and I would cry. I mean, it was just like, here's this guy's life. It's just a Tuesday. You know, this wasn't, oh, well, he went out that one day and had this magical day in this one wonderful place and caught, you know, captured it on film. It's like, nah, this is my life. It's like, that's your life? I go, yeah. So it was like looking through a keyhole. Because, you know, it's just Zen and I. But there was a camera, a drone. And I was creating. And Zen was doing his thing. And there was sand. And there were stones. And There was a little bit of wind, but nothing bad. But the wind kind of died down right at the end when my balance, as this cat Michael Grab says, you know, the 0 point, you know, when you hit balance, it's like it's kind of got calm. Because I was using a smaller, well, not a smaller stone, but less weight, a little thinner. And it was almost too light because it was a little windy. So I'm like, I need to get a bigger, heavier top stone. So I went and got the bigger, heavy top stone. And that's the one that, you know, they kind of, Michael ended up capturing with the drone footage up above of me, like at the moment I balanced it. And I was so stoked because that's kind of what I wanted. It's like, I've never hung out for the sunset. And I want this, you know, silhouette moment of this badass top stone on a tiny contact, you know, is what I'm crossing my fingers for, hoping for. And it just happened. And I'm like, typically when I do balances now, I don't make them so crazy that they're going to fall over. You know, I want them looking badass, but I want to be able to, you know, do the sand, finish the sand, make it look great, add stones, and then stay there while the sun sets. So again, hoping that it was going to stay, but it stuck hard and I felt great about it. And I was just like, man, I'm doing it. Like, there's no wind. I got sand. This looks great. I kind of like to do this kind of Stonehenge thing where I just kind of put like a row of stones around something. And it always looks dope with the shadows. So I know the shadows are going to play a role. So I kind of want this balance a little higher with this kind of Stonehenge around it. And there's shots where the shadows look like they're 50 feet long. So it's just like everything looked dope. And I loved the day before I even saw any of the footage. But the drone footage, I don't know, it just completely made me cry. I was like, that's the most beautiful place in the world. And oh my God, there's me. And this one was, you know, it backed up and you could see the shadow of me standing by my gear, and then a shot of Zen a little bit away from me, and a long shadow of him, and then the piece, and a long shadow of that piece. And I was just like there's no one around. And I'm like, I just loved it. Like, here's my life, and I love my life, and now I have a film that captured that moment. And it was just, like I said, to me, again, now the event hadn't even started. Like, nothing had even happened. And I was like, the film meant everything. So I told the people involved how thankful I was, because it meant everything to me, and I loved it. And I think it was probably just 2 days ago, because I got the Vimeo link, and I posted the Vimeo link online, and I did all that, and I'm like, I'm not sure how to get it to my TV, because, you know, I got the big ass dope clear TV. I'm like, oh my God, I want to see it on there. And a client said, you know, a Vimeo app, you can just get, I thought there might be a Vimeo app on the TV. So I go click, 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 and I open up Vimeo, and it's like search. And I'm like, found art, you know, because I got this link and I can't, like, I don't know. I'm like, how do I do this? And I ended up typing in found art. Nothing comes up that's mine. So I go to my phone, and I'm looking at the TV, and I pull up the app on my phone, and I'm looking at the Vimeo, and I push one button. Couldn't tell you what button it was. And I looked up, and there was my film on my TV. And it was kind of like this huge goal. But I had seen it a lot, and it was dope, and it was cool, but a lot had kind of, like, I'd seen it like a bunch by now. So we get to the day of the event. So there's Friday, and also I'm not really thinking. I'm like, okay, when do I do the live balance? I want to make sure I got my photos submitted. I want to make sure, you know, they received my film, and it was high resolution, so it took forever to upload and download. And I just want to make sure everything was right. And all of a sudden I see this note going, hey, launch party Friday night. I was like, well, it's like kind of like a Zoom thing. And I've never ever done one of those. I get Zoom with my clients, but I've never been on Zoom with, you know, more than one person. So it's, I don't know, about 20 minutes before this is supposed to kind of launch, and I'm following the instructions and clicking onto this, and I end up connecting with Sean Corcoran, who, that's the guy from Ireland that, you know, kind of got me in the thing. So I was like all stoked, but he was kind of in charge of the whole thing. There was a kind of a board committee of people, and Sean was one of them. And another guy was this Mark Anthony Hayden Ford, who I didn't really know of before, but he kind of came the commentator, and he turned out to be like this ridiculous artist. So it was kind of like those two guys, and then I saw a couple of the people along. Like, you couldn't see everybody, but there was like seven screens, and then you could scroll down. And all of a sudden, I kind of logged on, and they had everybody muted but a couple people. And I'm like, oh, my camera turns on. I'm like, oh, there I am. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, then I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I saw a couple of the artists that I knew. And I couldn't really, you know, they had me muted, so I was just sitting there, and they're like, you know, raise your hand. A little note said, raise your hand if you want to say something, whatever. And so I raised my hand, and I just, I think someone messaged me or something, and they're like, look, we're probably going to start in about 20 minutes. You know, thank you for being here, whatever. And I said, man, I'm so excited. I'm like, kind of, it's, I don't know, it was just this weird thing. I hadn't thought about that moment at all. I didn't know there was this Friday night, you know, get together thing, you know, on Zoom. And I said, great. I said, I was just going to say, I'm just cool if I just walk Zen quick and come back in like 15 minutes. So that's what I did. And I sat down. And when I sat down, I don't know, I think there was like 40 or 50 ended up being artists on this thing. And that was the trip. Like, I hadn't thought about it. So I hadn't prepared. So I wasn't expecting anything. But I was like a little kid. I was just sitting there kind of listening to people talk and see people. I'm just sitting there inside like this little tingly, bubbly feeling, because I was just like a little kid. You know, because there's probably about four or five people that I really, really admire and follow and respect. And some of those were on. And then there was, you know, a bunch of other ones that maybe kind of heard of or didn't, or, you know, some I didn't know. And then, I don't know, it was just kind of a long chat, and you know, I would go get something to drink and come back, and it kind of went on for a long time. And I think I even like walked Zen again, or I had to do something, but it was like one of the most enjoyable moments. And then they said, well, let's say hi from Tom, say hi to Tom from, you know, California. And then all of a sudden I was unmuted, and I was like, wow, here I am talking in front of all these people. And in that very moment, I was very humbled. I'm like, you know, I'm not really well known. You know, I mean, there's people that got a bunch of followers, you know, and I'm not that guy. I just wanted to say thank you to Sean for, you know, throwing my name in the hat. And I said, it's just complete honor to, you know, to be here and, you know, be a part of this. And I mean, it was just like, again, I was so overflowing inside. It was hard to, like, I didn't have that kind of, I had no expectations, and especially of that moment or what it was going to be like. But man, I got like emotional just saying how, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, and it was, the trippy thing was, you know, I go out and I don't want to be around people. Like, I'm not doing this to get friends. And I don't go to where there are people. And there's probably two or three people that kind of like really suffer from like not wanting to be around people, depression, anxiety, stress, mental illness. You know what I mean? Like, people that are like, look, I'm doing the art to stay away from people. I'm doing the art because it makes it feel good. I have a trouble, you know, speaking in front of people. I'm not great around people. And, you know, I mean, got a bunch of them. Like, again, it was just like, wow, like people that you relate to, because like they're willing to talk a little bit about what they're so incredibly passionate about. And they're kind of apologetic for not being poetic with their verbiage. And I'm loving, because like, that's how they talk. That's how they sound. You know, and they'd have little clips of where they lived. And it's just, I was, like I said, literally the kid in the candy store. And like, I had no idea Friday night was even going to happen. So Saturday, it's just live stream all day long. Artist after artist, and this Mark Anthony, I mean, the group that put this thing together, they said they were the team of by the seat of your pants. Like, none of them were really techie people. They were kind of all artistic people. A couple, maybe, I think they leaned on for the technical part. But for them to throw together a global event that was going to run, you know, 3 days, 2 days live, and have submissions, films, photos from all over the world, And, you know, lots of Zoom. There's a lot of technical difficulties with just that, having just meetings, let alone submitting all this other stuff. But what they were able to do, I mean, they were all, like, completely stoked and happy because they had been to the live event. So you go to a live, huge Earth event, and you're right there physically creating art with other artists. And that night, you know, listening to music and drinking and, you know, just bonding. And the next day doing it. And do this, like, the whole week before some of the artists get there. So they're like, wow, what's this going to be like? And, you know, we're not in contact. We're not with each other. We're all virtual. And they were all raving about it. Like, they were so stoked and so fired up on how it was going. So it made me feel even more appreciative to be a part of this global, awesome thing that was just, like, happening. And I've said often, Andy Goldsworthy, River and Tides documentary is why I began. The first cat that kind of, like, changed my world was a cat named Michael Grab, a.k.a. Gravity Glue. And to this day, he does things that are unimaginable. And how he explains it, sometimes I don't even quite grasp, like, how deep he is about what he does. And it's so incredibly inspirational. And I just have a ton of, like, this, like, to me, he's like the top dude. Like, I will do this to show you what's possible to the rest of the world. He's been all over the world. You know, he's got photos of this amazing, I can't believe it, balances all over the world. And he lives in Boulder, Colorado, by this creek. And, like, this morning he posted something. He's like, went to a different part of the creek. And, you know, I was stimulated by, you know, not knowing and being unfamiliar with the stones, and I did this. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it's ridiculous what this dude does. And then last 2 years, this cat named John Foreman, and AKA at Sculpt the World. And I say this guy paints with stones. His design, the flow, the symmetry, the design, the patience, like the size of the pieces, like it'll probably 300 or 400 stones in some of his pieces. And you're looking at it going, like, I know how long that must have taken. But where did he get those stones, and how did he train? Because, you know, where he sets them up, there's no other stones, and then he cleans the sand. I mean, it's pretty wet, packed sand, so he doesn't leave a lot of print marks, but he typically will, I'm sure, clean it up if there are. But it's magnificent. And as temporal as Michael's is, everyone else's is, you know, 4 or 5 hours on a piece that will not last the day. And a guy named James Brunt. James Schilling. James Craig. And Sean. Sean and a lot of other people do sand art. The big, huge, like, they'll take out, like, a rake and do these big sand drawings, like, huge, on a big open space of land, and it's ridiculous the detail they do. So I didn't really know that much or follow that much about the sand artists, but through this whole event, I was watching more and more of them. And then, again, just other people that I can't remember, but also it was like, you know, I was listening to them speak, share their stories, where they work, you know, their studios, their outdoor offices, which what I, you know, I refer mine as. And it was just completely engaging. Like, I was on and off that site all day on Saturday. And then my film was to air the next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. And then 2 hours later, I was to do the Green Room chat, which was just going to be me and the commentator. And I was kind of looking forward to talking to this Mark Hayden Ford, who was the commentator on Saturday. Well, I get it. He wasn't going to do a second day. And this guy, Charlie, who was affiliated with the Llano Earth Fest in Texas, I guess, in the past. And just a really kind of laid back, great dude, not involved as an artist at all, but just this commentator guy. So I wasn't really sure how he was, if he had just been there before and helped run things or whatever, but just think he had this cool, dope personality. So I was like, okay, yeah, this should be kind of cool. And my film got up, and it was not a letdown in a little way, but it was like a screen of a screen, and it was like the lower resolution, and I already seen it, the high resolution, like a billion times. So to see like a lesser quality version that was, you know, again, on my screen, which was on a screen, which was, you know, it, on a Zoom, just kind of made the whole thing like, okay. But it got great, you know, it was received well. People enjoyed it. I loved it. So I was like, you know, I had the great copy. So before that thing aired, I was done with that. Like, victory, touchdown. I won. I got the greatest film ever for the rest of my life. Like, I you know, people could have booed it at the event. I'm like, don't care. I love it. And then, you know, Saturday was just watching, and, you know, Sunday happened, got the film up. So it was like nothing, you know, like unexpected or out of the ordinary or whatever. It was like, okay, just, you know, taking it all in as an observer. And then I got to the green room chat, which is just going to be this guy, Charlie, and me. And that turned out to be one of the funnest things because I was very present, very connected to the moment. And Charlie just had, you know, he just like, he has the personality to ask questions. Like, he's, you know, ready to go along and gets into it and energetic. And we just kind of had this great flow and this great energy. And, you know, I talked about my sister passing and, you know, how my art's temporal and how that got me to speak at a hospice and, you know, how fortunate I am and thankful I am that I get to do what I do without, you know, being at, you know, Belief 2021 virtual. Like, I was, you know, overwhelmed with gratitude that I was able to share that, and I loved that moment. Like, I loved what came out of my mouth. I loved what I felt. I loved what was happening between Charlie and I, and I just felt so incredibly blessed. Like, when that ended, I was like, I just, you know, because a lot of the people were saying that they just loved the event. They were thankful. They loved how it went off. Like, there was just joy and there was just love. And I mean, it definitely made me think, like, I got to go meet these people in Llano next year. Like, I got to go to that live event now. Like, I just really, really want to meet some of these people, you know, like, in a way I kind of have. But to be able to actually create with people, I think that would be pretty dope. And all of a sudden it was Sunday night, and I was like, okay. Like, I stopped, and I was like, okay, that's done. That big, huge thing is done. And I think it was Thursday, because I trained this client on Thursday, and he said, so, you looking forward to the weekend? And I'd been through so much making the film, you know, the one editor was in and out, I didn't know, and then I didn't know about time, and then color corrected, you know, a third person came into it. Yeah, I just had no idea, you know, what was happening. So it was like so into that when it was done and I submitted it, to me it was over with. You know, it's like, I'm not really sure when I go out for the live thing, but, and that's what I totally forgot. I kept going, Saturday, I watched Saturday. No, because Friday, that launch party, I also learned that you had to submit if you were going to, like, I'm going to do a live Stone Balance this weekend. You had to submit it Sunday morning. So that means I had to go out Saturday. So I had two clients in the morning, and I had a client Friday afternoon at 5 on Friday that switched to Saturday. So now I had like a time slot. I had to drive out to the beach, and I don't really go on the weekends because, you know, sometimes in the afternoon the traffic might be worse or just the beach is more crowded, so I kind of avoid the weekend. So now I am going out on a weekend, and I have to, you know, get out there, create, capture it for a contest, and then come back for a client. Like, again, now here's the second time in my entirety of ever feeling any kind of pressure of having to go out on a single day in a single moment and, you know, hopefully do something that's, you know, something that's better than I've ever done, that I feel great about competing. But I was able to actually do that. Like, I went out Same thing. There was sand. There were stones. There was no wind. And I went, okay. And I kind of had an idea what I wanted to do. And I was able to do it. So I was completely stoked. Not because I was trying to win. And there's people that are dope. So I kind of knew I wouldn't win. But it wasn't really about that. It's like, you know, the three things, you know. Be on the panel. Do the live stacking competition. And submit the film. So I was going to do them all and participate. And then just be completely thankful that I was. So that, again, just feeling that kind of pressure by Sunday night. It was like, wow. Got the film done. Submitted the film. Did the launch party, went out Saturday, did the live one, submitted that. And I think it was going to take like a week or so after the actual event to then let everyone know who, because there were different categories on the stone stacking championships and all that. So, but it was Monday. I think maybe into Tuesday. And I was like, what is that? What's what? That feeling. What feeling? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, what is that? Like, there was this anxious kind of, hey, you should, what are you going to do? What do you mean, what am I going to do today? What are you going to do today? Like, you got to, like, I was like looking for a list, a to-do list. Like, where's that thing I wrote down of the things that were really important? Like, there was this, I'm like, what am I? I don't know when it was, but it was way faster than I ever had in my life before. But I went, so a solid month, you had a to-do list, and it was a wonderful, passionate thing you loved. But it was kind of nonstop, because once you heard about being invited, you were on making the film, getting people involved, shooting it, getting it made. And once that was finished, it was like, you know, kind of right before the event. And then it was the Friday event, the Saturday, to go out, you know. So it was kind of like go, 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 do on your mind. And then, like I said, Sunday night, it was all done. Like the biggest event ever I got to participate in was done. And like I said, a client before said, hey, you looking forward to it? I was like, well, I might have missed my train of thought on that. But I remember a client Thursday asking, are you looking forward to the weekend? I'm like, well, I said, after the, I hadn't really thought about it. Like, I paused. Like, I was like, and I'm like, I hadn't really thought about it. I go, it's not going to, like, change my life. And it wasn't a negative thing. It was just where I was coming from. It was like this great thing happened. I got invited. I got to make this film. And was a little nervy getting the film done. I said, but the film's done. I love the film. I go, the rest, I think that I'm going to just walk through it and enjoy it. And yeah, in a real positive way, it's not going to, you know, change my life. It was just cool to be invited. You know, like that was it. It was just kind of like a thing of recognition. And then I got to submit them. It's like, well, while you're here, let's see you dance. And I got to dance a little bit, show what I did. And I'm like, okay, cool. But now we're back to reality. And I don't know, I would guess maybe the Wednesday. I was like, that's what it was. It was kind of like, you know, you get all fired up for the holidays and there's that letdown. Or you get all, you know, kind of entangled and distracted and focused on this project, and then there's like this big letdown after it, so you feel bad. So I recognize it wasn't good, it wasn't bad, it was just a lot on my mind, and now nothing again. But it was great how I was aware of it. I mean, it was a bit uncomfortable at first. I'm like, well, why do I feel like this restlessness? Like, I you know, again, my bad now is 10,000 times better than it used to be. So when I speak in that, it's very relative. So it's like that, like I'm so good now. If I feel a little discomfort, a little uneasiness, I'm like, whoa, what's that? What's that about? You know what I mean? It's like if it's really, 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 really quiet, there's something very, very, you know, quiet, but not quite as quiet, you know, it happens, you could hear it. So it's that thing where your life is so peaceful. If there's a little ripple. You're like, what's that? Yeah, what's that little ripple? Not that it's bad, but you're just aware of it now. And I'm like, I loved the weekend. I loved every day. I loved everything I submitted. I was proud of it. I was happy. I liked how I came off. I liked, you know, meeting the people I met. Like, I liked that. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong. You had a lot in your mind, and now you don't. And there was a shift, and you're aware of it, and that's it. I was like, oh, okay. And that to me was like a big thing. Because again, it's like this just being aware. It's not ever getting to the place where you do everything perfectly. You don't have problems. You don't feel discomfort. You don't feel anxious. You don't feel fear. Oh, I've eliminated everything negative and bad in my entire life, and I shall do that the rest of my life. That's, you know, there's your problem. There's, I help you with that problem, the 84th problem. Stop thinking you're going to do that. But just this Mosier one day just kind of started this workout, and he was just like killing it. I put two moves together back to back that were hard, and he kind of killed them. And then we do the big Mosier move, which is a devastating exercise, just relentless. And then he did that and killed that. And I was like, dude, I go, big night of sleep, Wheaties? He's like, I'm frustrated. And he said it in a way, I was like, don't ask. I was just like, okay. But later I thought about that, you know, and he said right after it, he goes, you know, I just feel in this sense of frustration and decided to go, you know what, I'm going to work out. Why don't I use that as fuel? And he said it calm, and I got it. And it was clear that he knew what he was doing, that he was doing it, and that it was effective. Then I was like, you know, that's that great thing. Like, he wasn't hoping he woke up with that feeling. It wasn't an enjoyable feeling, but he was like, well, I'm aware. Here's a feeling. I'm going to work out. That's my reality. How about if I, pro you choice, use that fuel? I was like, wow, bravo. So to me, again, it's not, wow, I was really busy and excited. Now it's kind of quiet and I'm feeling, it's like, there are no feelings with that. You were busy and now you're not. Information. Move forward. Keep it simple. Don't let the old you and voices and a bunch of yuck get all entangled and twisted in kryptonite white noise. Just kind of keep that separate. So then it was like, you know, the end of the first week after, and I was like, okay, cool. You know, it was just boom, I got it, I did it. You know, it's in my back pocket. And it would have been cool to have, you know, chatted, you know, more with some artists, and you know, since then and a little bit before, I thought like, well, I got a podcast and they Zoom, obviously they can Zoom, all I gotta do is ask them to Zoom and chat and then I'll record it. So in the back of my mind, I kind of would like to do that. You know, there's a couple artists that I thought would be cool to have. I'm like, well, it's my podcast, have a guest on it, guest that you like, you know. So I'm trying to build up that courage because I don't know if they're into that thing. And I don't, I guess just out of respect, I'm not asking right away or whatever, but that's kind of my thought. I got a couple people that I thought would be rather brilliant to ask and have a conversation with and, you know, again, be able to be like, okay, I'm gone. I'm like, hey, that one episode or those two, three episodes, look at me talking to the artists that I, you know, kind of ended up co-mingling with at a very, very large virtual, you know, art festival. And, you know, and that's how, you know, I kind of got in and connected and, you know, I don't know, it would just be kind of a cool thing. And it's kind of like on a wish list. Again, I don't really have one, but ever since the festival, I thought that'd be kind of cool. I think I'm going to shut her down there. But I did want to share this one thing. Kind of what everybody's kind of experiencing, so I think it would be relative. But, you know, everybody in the world is looking for the return to normal. You know, like, and it is, you know, things are being lifted, restrictions, you know, there's public eating, and like I can, you know, like the need and the urgency is palpable and is understandable. It's just for me, it's kind of doing the different thing. Like I've had this weird buzz about the moving thing. Like I took a different route, which is going to drive by a lake and go to Ojai. So I took another drive. And the lake was a reservoir. There was only one way to get in. It was through this big recreational center. And it just became kind of a big headache. And it's like, okay, well, that's nowhere I would go for enjoyment. It was just kind of a headache. Pretty, but I would never, you know, it wasn't like, okay, well, there's another thing I can visit or go to. And then it was a Friday, and it was getting a little bit late, and then I kind of just was close. You know, that was my intention to go to Ojai and drive around a little bit. And I'm like, it's just the traffic was getting bad, and I'm like, and then I got home, and I was like, I'm tired of driving. Like, I'm driving extra because I'm trying to find a place to live, but I'm driving a lot, and I don't like driving. So part of me is like, I want to move to a place so I don't have to drive. But I know I have to drive until I find a place. So there's kind of like this now, a little shift in, ugh. And I was like, again, I had to go, look, you're fine. Where you live is fine. You don't have to move. It's, you know, you've started discovery. That's it. And you're finding out more. But I went on like apartments.com, and I just thought you could, you know, go in there and put your, you know, area, and it comes up no rentals available, no apartments to rent. And I'm like, I don't even. And again, I have no clue how else to do it. The one I used for, you know, to find this one, you know, off a different area, but I tried a, you know, a similar thing, you know, that I Googled. And so it's just like this, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I haven't driven around, but I don't offhand remember seeing any apartment complexes. You know, it's like a bunch of houses. You know, there's no high rise. There's no buildings. There's no, like, Starbucks. There's no commercial anything there. So there's this, like, unknown. Like, what if you can't rent there? Like, you still don't know where you're going to live. So it's not that, oh, I know what I'm doing. I found it. I'm excited. It's kind of that I don't know. And so that I don't know. And then I had more time. And then I could feel everything getting back. You know, getting a little busier. You know, gas has gone up a lot. You know, there's more people at the beach, more people walking around. And I thought, you know, and Zen was hurt. And my life started getting quiet. And I had less clients, less money, went, you know, out to eat or anywhere. I stopped. And then Zen was hurt, so I stopped doing. Like, I embraced that. And when I was gathering those breadcrumbs, I'm like, I'm not going to change. Like, I stayed the way I became. As my life slowed down, I slowly became a different version of myself. And I'm still that version. And I wasn't hoping, okay, once Zen is healed, I can get back to doing, and I want to get back to making money so I can keep doing. I was like, nah, I like what I'm doing. I like making less money. I like doing less. I like having more time. I like going to the beach less. I like being quiet more. I like being around less people. I like everything about it I liked. And that's what I thought was different. Like, there's so many people that want to get back to doing what they were doing. And again, it's not a judgment. I just know it's like, that's the difference I feel. The disconnect I have with people in general would be things like that. Like when they want, oh, I can't wait to go out to eat. I can't wait to go to a bar. I can't wait to, you know, I'm like, yeah, I got no connection with that stuff at all. Like, I have no desire whatsoever. I started a stretching class Sunday morning on my Pro You Podcast Facebook page, 7 a.m. my time. I just did the second one this morning. But in the first one, I was talking. I'm like, you know, I'm just doing this because, you know, I wanted to stretch more. It's like I wanted to be accountable. And a great way to do that was that live workout Wednesday. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just say, hey, I'm going to do a live stretch class. That'll make me accountable. And, you know, there it was Sunday, 7 morning. I got up and I was chatting. And, you know, it was just like, look, I don't have a plan, but I like helping people. And I said, I'm not trying to pursue anything. I said, I don't have any goals. I go, I walk the earth thankful. I go, I'm really trying to make more money. I go, this is obviously free. I said, but I would like to help people. But I think if you just randomly grabbed 100 people, I bet 3 or 4 would be like, yeah, I would get help by that. I would listen to his podcast. That what he says resonates with me. Just trying to get out there more. Like I thought, well, here's just another platform. I'll move, we'll stretch, meditate, and I'll chit-chat. And then that started. So I said, keep being me, keep doing me. But I'm like, yeah, like, as it's kind of the little thing of like, there's this part where I'm walking around going, should I move? Shouldn't I move? Conversation. And I'm looking at stuff around Hollywood. I'm like, you know, do I like that? Do I not like that? Can I live with that? Should I live without that? And then I think, where am I going? Will they have that? Will they have this? And I'm like, okay, see, that's that whole conversation thing I just don't like at all. Like it's wearing. But it's now caused me, like the last 2 days, I was like, all right. When you think back to how you were doing and how well you were doing and exactly what you were doing, you're being present and you're being thankful. You're being present and you're being thankful. There's just a few other things, which aren't bad things, but just realize what that little unbalance is and don't dwell on it. And just know you're blessed. Be thankful. You don't have to move. And you can just slow down the looking thing. You can look when you want to. Take time. Breathe. You know, take the pressure off yourself. And that's what I keep telling people. You know, it's the whole I like me. Self-love. Self-care. You know, be that to yourself and you'll get through so much that you may not have in the past. If you have any questions, comments, I'm in a good place, people. If you need a little help, ear to listen, a shoulder to lean on, someone to kind of guide you all the way up the hill, you need a Sherpa. The mountain is overwhelming and you want a Sherpa, just holler. Bunch of ways to get a hold of me, but I love helping people and I'm in a place, you know, I'm able to do that. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being you, for listening. I hope 2021, as we are in April now, is just going as well as expected for you, because you're deeming yourself worthy, because you are worth it. Welcome to your pro-you moment. Completely stoked you're here. Bravo, well done. And I mean that. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor. Legs crossed if we can. Eyes closed. Neutral neck. Shoulders over the hips. Draw the navel into the spine. Begin to draw the inhale through the nose. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow each down. Elongate each breath. Staying focused on each breath. Connecting our mind to our body. That's what will occupy the space between your ears. If anything else enters, kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do that to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. One more little thing done consistently. One more pro you moment. An example of deeming yourself worthy. And I just keep telling people that, you know, obviously nothing special, but I have a story, and it truly, simply demonstrates just what's possible. And to get through what I've gone through, to feel like I did at the end of 2020, who have no expectations, wants, desires, goals, and then to be rewarded even more. That's what I'm selling. So that is what I'm hoping you're buying for free. Just grab a little bit of that Pro You powder every Pro You moment, every podcast episode, sprinkle yourself with it. Feel that, experience that. Be thankful for that. Just move forward. That's why I do what I do at this point. Hoping that my journey is giving other people permission to let their light shine. Peace and God bless.